Praise the Lord Jesus. That's good singing. I don't know why y'all aren't on the top 10 list of Christian artists. My son-in-law, my dear beloved, kind, sweet, beloved son-in-law, was given a CD-ROM. Am I on? Do I have to turn this thing on? Yeah, I'm on. I'm already on. Okay. Was given a CD-ROM of the top 30 songs of 1998. I began listening to the first song and quickly jumped to the second. You know, having little jumpers, you can jump right to the second track. Began to listen to the first line of that, and I jumped to the next track. It didn't take me long to get through that top 30. And I realized, if that is a top 30 Christian singing in America, God help America. Amen. The first 10 songs, I didn't understand a word they were saying. They were just screaming. I didn't understand a word they were saying, just screaming in the mic. I am glad you're here tonight. I am so glad to be able to preach to people. You just don't know what a blessing that is to preach to people. I mean, it's cold in Poland, but cold hearts also. It is a blessing to be able to face a crowd of people. Nobody has any rocks in their hands, I hope. No guns up your sleeves or anywhere ready to shoot me. I'm just, you know, I'm so happy you're here. I'm going to tell you how happy I am that you're here tonight. I feel like one of them lightning bugs with his light cut off the tail, you know? Delighted. That's how happy I am. Just delighted that you're here tonight. I do hope that you will pray for this preacher as I preach to you. I just have a tremendous burden for you, for the church. What a blessing you people have been to us over the years. And sometimes I love to preach. I really do. I like to preach. I think I got the gift to preach. I think God, His mercy and His grace, gave me a gift to preach. But you know, sometimes preaching can be a burden. And I don't know why, but I just got this burden on me thinking about this revival, thinking about the needs of the church and the people of God, my own life. So I just ask that you pray and may God give us revival. Amen. Now, I'll do my best to preach if you'll do your best to pray. And if I say something good, it wouldn't hurt if you just shout out an amen every once in a while, you know, just encourage me. And if I'm hitting the mark, it wouldn't hurt for you to say, woe is me, you got me there, you know. But there's nothing worse than going to discourage me if I preach and you don't say anything. You know, pitch rocks or do something, you know. Pitch a hymn book. But if you just sit there and do nothing, I think I'm going to die. Open your Bibles, if you will, to the book of 1 Peter. I was telling Brother Kincaid today, he so graciously took us out to eat, Janice and I and our family, and Verlene. Verlene paid, I understood, so I had to get it. I was telling Lindell that, you know, all them things he told me when I was younger, I guess I can say that I'm 40 now, I can say when I was younger, that some of the things he used to say make sense now. They really do. If you will, we'll read together, and I hope you have it. How many people have Bibles tonight? Do you have your Bible? Oh, let me see the Bibles. I don't want to see your hand, I want to see the Bibles. Put the Bibles up there. I like to see Bibles. If you came tonight without a Bible, look ashamed. Amen. Amen. You see, there's a lot of people who go to church today without a Bible, and they have no idea if the preacher's preaching from the Bible or from somewhere else. They don't know if you're getting something from the Koran, or you're getting some of the Book of Mormon, or you're getting something from some missal somewhere, or something else. I hope you have a Bible, and I hope you'll read with me. I don't know how good I'm going to read in English anymore. I've been reading in Spanish and Polish, no telling what's going to happen. But I hope you just realize we're reading from the authorized version of God's holy word. And you read with me here in 1 Peter in chapter 1, verse 11. I'll do the reading. You just kind of follow along with your eyeballs. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. I want to read that last phrase after that last comma. When it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. I want to talk to you tonight about the sufferings of Christ. I don't know that I'm worthy to talk about the sufferings of Christ and what Christ did for us, but I'm going to do the best I can. Christ suffered for us. God Himself, when He decided to redeem mankind and save our soul, took upon Himself flesh and became a man. That must have been a humbling experience. Not only did He become a man, but He became a servant. He served ungodly men. He served people that were not worthy to be served. And some of you ladies tonight, my daughter included, because she's married now, you think it difficult to serve your man, that you made a vow and a decision And you yourself have said, yes, I love this man. And you bucket that and you think about your Savior who came down and served man. Some of you men tonight, you find it hard and difficult to serve your master, your employer. You ought to be reminded tonight that Jesus came not to be ministered unto, but to minister unto others. Maybe you're the boss and you don't have to serve anybody, but you are under the authority of a government. You find it hard to serve your government? That ought to remind you and ought to remind me of what our Savior did. So I want to talk to you about Jesus Christ tonight, and I want to talk about the suffering of Christ. It says here these prophets, they searched, they spoke about it, and it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ. Do you know we can read about the sufferings of Christ even in the Old Testament because it was prophesied back there? And I don't think I could find a greater chapter on touching on that subject than the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. And let's turn to there and read the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. I'm going to read the whole chapter. Here are some Old Testament, this is what Peter was talking about. These Old Testament prophets testified of the sufferings of Christ. It was foreordained. God decided that He would become a man Himself and suffer for you and I. Now nobody likes to suffer. Nobody likes to suffer. Beginning at verse 1, who had believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He had no form nor comeliness. Now they're talking about Jesus Christ. When Jesus suffered for us, He had no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see Him, there is no beauty that we should desire Him. He is despised and rejected of men. Now why? This is our Savior. This is God in the flesh. This is that one they called Emmanuel, God with us. And He says He's despised and rejected of men. Why would men reject Jesus? I can understand why they reject me. I can understand why they would reject you. But why would anybody reject Jesus Christ? What did Jesus do wrong? I mean, they sought accusers all over the land looking for somebody to find fault with the man. The judge himself stands up in the tribunal and he says and declares before all, I find no fault in the man. And I read the story of Jesus. Have you read the story of Jesus? You ought to read your Bible. Bibles are not paperweights and Bibles are not for shrines in your house to light candles before. The Bible is God's Word to you. And it ought to be our duty and our privilege to open up the Word of God and see what God has to say. Then this Bible we can find out about a man called Christ Jesus, and He suffered for sinners. I read the story of Christ. I read in the book of Matthew. I read in the book of Mark and Luke and John. I read the Gospel. I find nothing that Jesus did against man. He sought out the brokenhearted. He healed the blind. He gave hearing to those that could not hear. He gave speech to those that could not speak. And those that all their lives they laid up in a bed, He came by and took them by their hand and they stood again. He went to the cemetery. Some of you are lost. Sorry about that, brother. Some of you are lost from family members. You go to the cemetery.
We went to the cemetery this past month.
Your brother. I'm in the wrong time. That was a burden. This thing's broke. I'm pitching it. Sorry about it. You know, we put it up here. I remember Brother Shining, good man. That was a burden going to that cemetery. It was a joy in a sense, but in a sense it was a burden. You understand what I'm saying? Jesus went to a cemetery, a good friend of His, and He said, Lazarus, come forth.
Amen.
And they're going to reject this man, Jesus Christ? They're going to deny this man and cry out, crucify Him! Crucify Him! Hey, we're reading about Jesus here. He is despised and rejected. We're not talking about some killer. We're not talking about some murderer, some no good, some hippie. We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about the friend of sinners. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows. I say that I'm burdened, but I don't think I have a burden like Jesus has. Sorrows come in your life. Disappointments in your life? I don't think any of us come close to the man of sorrow. And acquainted with grief, grief has knocked at your door. He was there. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. Brethren, how can these things be? He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. Surely He had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities.
The chastisement of our peace was upon him. On his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. Why did Jesus Christ suffer? He suffered for ours. He suffered for my sins and your sins. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, and for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. And yet he was rejected. And yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, for whose sin? For your sin and for my sin. Oh, brethren, my friends, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Oh, thank God for that. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he had poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Let us all stand and pray. Father in heaven, I pray you'd have mercy upon us tonight. Oh God, that you would indeed give us a great revival. Oh God, that you would look down upon us in mercy. And Lord, remember that we're but dust. And Lord, that we're but worms and no men. Oh God. Lord, when you look upon us, may you see us through the blood of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ. And oh God, may you endue me with power now to explain, to persuade, to convince, to utter. Oh God, the sufferings that you suffer on the cross of Calvary for sinners. Oh God, may lost souls be saved and delivered from unrighteousness and delivered from the wrath to come. Oh God, may backsliders be revived and turned to you. Oh God, may those of us that have been burdened, Lord, may we be lifted to have our spirits renewed. Oh God, may your name be exalted in all that we do. Lord, that's why we're here. Oh God, we've gathered here today to glorify you, to humble ourselves before you, to be renewed and revived. And Lord, we know, Lord, I know, Lord, unless you build the house, our labor is in vain. Oh God, pour out your spirit upon us and bless us now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know that we'd have time to go through the gospel story, so I'll just pick up bits and pieces to remind you. If you have never read the gospel story, I charge you this day to go home and read the gospel. And read the stories of the sufferings of our Savior, Jesus Christ. I want you to know they came to our Savior and they buffeted him on the face. Have you ever been hit in the face? My dear co-worker, Joe West, out preaching the gospel, with a Bible in his hand, was beaten with hands, blood in his eyes, bruised his jaw, broke his glasses by those that call themselves Christians. I've been hit a few times. Some of these preachers here have been hit a few times. You ever been hit? Some of us deserved it. We were a little cocky in our preaching, maybe. Maybe we smarted off. Maybe we said some things we shouldn't have said, didn't say it the right way. But you mark it down. Jesus said it the right way every time. He said it with the spirit of love every time. It was full of grace every time. It was honest every time. It was without guile every time. It was truth every time. And yet sinners came to him and they smacked him across the face. And they mocked him and they said, "Who hit thee?" And don't you know that face went into his teeth and cut the inside of his mouth and blood began to spill out. You ever been hit in the face? Our Savior was hit in the face. His mouth was beaten. My Bible says they beat him with a rod. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They come up to him with a rod and they hit him on the head. You know where you bleed the most? You bleed the most on your face. So you guys that shake, you whack your face and you just bleed like a stuck pig. Just bleed, bleed, bleed. Can you see the blood dripping down in the face of our Savior? You tell me why. It says here, for our iniquities, for our sins. Don't you know when they slapped him across the face that his lips began to bleed? Oh, not at first. Not at first. It just stained at first. But as the day and the trial wore on, and each one of them soldiers took their shot, pretty soon them welts or that bruise began to bleed and cut open. Why? Why did he suffer that? For some wrong deed that he had done? Did he offend somebody? What was it that Jesus did wrong? Tell me, please. I'll tell you why. Because our throats are an open sepulcher. Our tongues have used deceit. The poison of ass was under our lips, and our mouths were full of cursing and bitterness. You know why they slapped Jesus across the face? Because you and I have cursed God and defied him with our mouth. You and I, as young boys, stood up in a bedroom in Ypsilanti, Michigan, and took the name of God in vain for the pure pleasure of it, just to see how macho we could be until Jesus. Some of you down on the job cursing me all the time. You'd cuss up a blue streak. So Jesus had to take it in the face. He had to take it in the mouth. He had to feel the skin going across the teeth and cutting the inside of the mouth. Why? Because we cursed. We took God's names in vain. Why? Because we blasphemed God. Why did Jesus suffer? Why did they smack him across the face? Because some here tonight profess they knew God, but worked by the works they denied him. So Jesus had to take it across the face. Took it for you and for I. For you and for me. Why did Jesus take it? For our bickerings that came out of our mouths. And our complaints. Our complaints. What do we got to complain about? We complain in the morning because it's not raining. We complain at night because it is raining. We complain because it's cold. We complain because it's hot. We complain because it's lukewarm and not hot enough. And then when it's lukewarm, we complain because it's not cold enough. He took it on the face because we're complaining. Does not our Bible command us to give thanks for all things? Is that something unrighteous that God would demand of us? Something that was unreasonable that God would demand of us to give thanks for all things? He who has given us all things freely. Is it so much that we could just but utter thanks to God? Because of out of our mouths, instead of thanksgiving, come complaints and bitterness and cursings and swearings and blasphemies. He took it on the face. He suffered. I tell you why Jesus took it on the mouth. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why his lips bled, and his face bled, and his nose bled, no doubt. Because some of you took to your mouths the wine and the alcohol of this world and became drunken. And so my Bible says he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened out his mouth. No objection, no crying out for mercy, no command for deliverance. He took it for you. He took it right on the choppers for you. My Bible says that he tasted death for every man. In Hebrews in chapter 2, he says, but we see Jesus, who was made little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. I'll tell you why Jesus took it on the mouth, because many people betrayed him. Judas came and betrayed him with a kiss. So Jesus took it on the, slapped him across the head and mocked him. He drank the wine of the wrath of God that was poured out without mixture into the cup of God's indignation. He took that for you. He took that for me. Yes, the sufferings of Christ. We've only just begun. My Bible says, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Have you ever been spit on? I'm going to hear a minute. Have you ever been spit on? Somebody ever come up to your face and just spit on you? You know, they reach real down deep and just get a big old mouth full. Well, you and I probably deserve it. I've been spit on a few times in my life. Hey, but who am I? Who am I? Hey, they spit on my Savior. Huh? They spit on, now why would they spit on my Savior? I can understand why they'd spit on you. I can understand why they'd spit on me. But why would they spit on you? Why would they shame him that way? Do you know how ugly and how dirty you feel after you have somebody spit in your face? Who spit in the Savior's face? Sinner. Why did he bear that? Why did he take that shame? Some of you tonight, believers even in the Lord Jesus Christ, this very Christ that suffered, have been ashamed. So he took your shame, because you wouldn't do it. They plucked off his beard. Some of you ladies pour wax all over your legs and peel it off. That hurts a little bit, doesn't it? Try putting wax on your face and peel that off. Some of you men see how it feels. Huh? Sometimes you get a little ingrown hair, you know, and you pull it. Boy, that hurts just for a second. But how about if you got a full beard and they come and just pluck the whole thing out? That's what it says. It says he gave his cheeks to him that smited him, and he was filled with reproach. Tell me why, sinner friend. Tell me why. Why would they pluck the beard off my Savior? I'll tell you why. Because of your sin and because of my sin. Hey, how many shameful things have you done? Sometimes we gather around here to pray and we confess our sins. There's some sins I'm ashamed to confess before other people. Huh? You know what I'm talking about? Hello, I said hello. Amen. You know what I'm talking about? Do not give me apathy tonight, please. You can say, woe is me, or you can say amen. But say something, please. Have you ever been ashamed? Amen. That's why Jesus stood there and allowed them to pluck out his beard. God help me. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. Wasn't good enough just to slap him. Took a rod and beat him across the face. Huh? Some of you street fighters, you know the hand's just not heavy enough. You need something in it, don't you? Some of you roll up a roll of quarters, get it in there, and give you a little bit extra weight, huh? Some of you guys skinny like me need extra weight to go against that big boy. Just put a little lead in your hand. That'll make that thing heavy. Huh? They took that rod and they beat our Savior's face. Why?
Why? Because of all the shameful things you're afraid to confess before other people. He took that shame. Can you see the spit on the blood coming down on the Savior's face? I wish old Spielberg would do a picture of that. Huh? Of course, he shouldn't be doing it, but I'm somebody that has talents like he does. Huh? How come they can be so graphic on things we ought to be ashamed of? They're not graphic about our Lord Jesus Christ. How come they always got Jesus on the cross, but they've got no blood coming down? How come he's still got his beard on there? How come you can still recognize him? My Bible says they couldn't recognize him. He had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. My Bible says they took a scourge and they plowed upon his back. You'll find that in the book of Psalms, chapter 129. The plowers plowed upon my back. They make mock the furrow. I was out of Brother Kincaid today, a beautiful house. I thank God his roof don't leak. I really do, because I put that roof on there. I'm glad it didn't leak. But he said, you know, I found my, what do you call that? Chicote. I found my chicote. Oh, man, now I know why Bill is like he is, man. You got to look for that chicote. You know what that is? That's a little scourge. This one leaves welts on you. That's why we got away from spanking our children with belts, because it left welts. You just get a flat board. Thank you, Michael. Little Michael Jackson made us some nice little belts. I mean, nice little paddles so we didn't leave welts on our children. But you get that cat of nine tails, and I've been told sometimes they put sharp pieces of bones on it, so that when it catched the skin, that big old man pulled that thing out. It says it made four furrows in his back. They plowed on his back. Some of you farmers here push the plow through the field, and you get done, you see the furrows running. That's what they did on my Savior's back. Hey, that old big old strapping man, they always get the big guy to do it too. Whoop up on somebody. Get the big guy to do it. Got to hold that cat of nine tails, and there's my Savior standing there like a man. Now I'm going to hit you. He didn't say it. And splash! Can you hear it whipping? And then that big old man just pulls back. Can you hear the flesh coming out? Why did he do that? Because he bore our griefs. Oh, you got some heavy burdens tonight? Huh? That's why Jesus suffered as a prophet. Hey, they bloodied our Savior. They bloodied our Savior. They whooped him. Jesus himself said, thus it must be. Remember that? Thus it must be. Why? Why must it be so? Why must it be so? Because you and I that were burned with sin and burned with the things of this world, Jesus took our burden. He took it on the back for you. He took the scourging for you.
Amen.
He allowed him to do it because he had the power to say enough. I think God made me skinny and Joe small just for the very reason so that he could take some of the abuse that people put out on us. Because if I was just a little bit bigger, I think, okay, I think I could handle you. Huh? I thank God I'm not a big man. Because I was just a little bit bigger, I think I just might be bold enough to, okay, let's get it on, guys. Huh? Hey, when you think you can take on the guy, you're not so willing to take things. When the guy's about 6'5" and you're looking up on him, whatever you want to do, you know, whenever you're done, I'm willing to go home. But Jesus had the power. Jesus had the power to say enough, enough. Huh? Huh? I've taken just about enough. He could have stopped it right in there. He could have just said, I am! And they would all fall down.
So,
he'd already done it once when he come looking for it. Huh? He could have called fire down from heaven and consumed them. But he stood there and took it. Now why did he take it? Because you and I couldn't. Turn your Bibles to Luke in chapter 22. Are you praying? Now can you imagine? There stands our Savior. They've already scourged him. They've already buffeted him. Now Pilate's trying to get out of it. He's got a crown of thorns on his head, blood dripping down, face all torn up, bloody, blood everywhere, back ripped open. Now Pilate says, look, I've scourged him. Who am I going to give to? You want me to let him go now? You know what Jesus heard? Not only did Jesus suffer the beating and the scourging, but he heard some things that day. Here they brought him out bound his hands, brought him out bound, and Pilate, they cussed him back there. And it was that time, season. He said, I'm going to let somebody go. And he had it in the back of his mind. This is what I think happened. Old Pilate had it in the back of his mind that once they saw Jesus like that, they said he'd gone too far. Surely they'd see something going on like Judas did. And say, oh, I betrayed him with love. And they pretended. Pilate knew that for envy they delivered him. And so Pilate brings him out all bloody, thinking surely they'll let him go. But I want to tell you tonight that Jesus took some other burdens that night. I'm not done yet. He took some other burdens because he heard some things. Oh, they weren't blows of cat of nine tails or palm of a hand going across his face or a rod going across his head. But they were blows nonetheless. They were words. Have you ever been cut by a word? You ever have somebody who loves you come up and say, I hate you? Doesn't it cut? Doesn't it cut deep? Huh? Doesn't it cut deep?
Some of you have been through divorce, don't you know? I don't want to be with that man anymore. Don't you know that cuts deep? Some of you have been children, you've been hurt bad because daddy said, I don't want you no more. Don't you know that cuts? Do you know what I'm talking about tonight? As Jesus stood out there and Pilate said, should I release Jesus or should I release this murderer? You know what Jesus heard that night? You know what he heard? He heard him cry out, crucify him! Crucify him! Why? What evil has he done? They cried out more, crucify him! We don't want, we don't love him! We don't want him! Give us that murderer there! Oh, he bore our burdens that day. Oh, he took some cuts on the inside. See, them soldiers couldn't get to him on the inside. They bloodied his body. With that crowd out there, they cut him on the inside. That's what Jesus bore that day. Oh, and some of you are so proud tonight that you'd say, I never would have done that. But it was for your sins. See?
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, you ain't going to believe it, but if you'd been there, you'd say the same thing.
That's right.
Because you love your religion, and just as those priests deceived the people in Jesus' time, your priests are deceived in your time. And you would say it, and don't deceive yourself. Be honest with yourself one time in your life. You would have stood there just like they did. You can't stand up in your own job and say, don't take the name of God in vain. You bow to the pressure. Ah, your friends are running around in the school and say, come on, let's get some drinking on. And you can't stand up and say, I'm going to live righteously. Don't tell me you're not cried out the same.
Amen.
But you bow down to the pressure. Somebody ought to say amen or woe is me. Amen. Do not be apathetic tonight. They cried out, crucify him, just as you would. Just as I would. I want you to know Jesus took some burdens that night, not only on his back, not only on his face, but he took some burdens with him. Don't you know that cut when he heard him cry, crucified, he heard something else. He heard a beloved disciple. Been with him for about 3.5 years. His disciple even swore, I'll go with you to the end. Even if these other guys wimp out, I'm going with you to the end, Lord. He heard old Peter over there denying him. Huh? Hey, it's one thing when that crowd out there hates you. When that crowd out there says, down with Jesus, crucify him, put him on a cross, nail his hands there, we don't want him, give us a murderer. We don't know, we don't want the man, give us Caesar, we want some other king. Oh yeah, Sometimes it's easy to take the abuse of this world. But there was his disciple. He heard those words. I know not the man. I don't know the man. And then as if to emphasize, it begins to curse. Don't you know those were deep wounds in the heart of our Savior? Now why did he do that? Why? Because you and I have denied our Savior plenty of times. He said, who'll go for me? All of a sudden, no volunteers. Hey, when he said, I'm ready to bless. Oh, hands are up. I'm going to be blessed. Oh, yeah, bless me. But when God began to look for some volunteers, all of a sudden the denials came. He heard some things that day. Did we read our text yet here in Luke in chapter 22? Verse 63. And the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. And when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, prophesy, who is it that smote thee? And many other things blasphemously spake they against him. He heard some things that day. He heard some false witnesses. You know what they said about him? They said, we found this fellow perverting the nation. My Savior? Jesus perverting the nation? Perverting the nation? This Savior, that when he spoke, grace came out of his mouth. When he spoke, mercy came out of his mouth. This one, which was the example of charity and love, perverting the nation. That's what he heard. Have you ever been lied about? Somebody lie about you? Don't you know it hurt? They lied about our Savior. Why? Because some of you have lied about other people. Hello, woe is me. He heard some priests, soldiers, mimicking, mocking, as we read here. Bowing down on the knee, saying, Hail, King of Jesus. Everybody, have you ever been made fun of? Huh? Everybody's got their problems, don't they? You might have a crooked nose. I have a crooked nose. You might have a long nose. You might have red hair. You might be skinny. You ever been made fun of? You ever mocked at? Oh, you're bald-headed. Huh? But they mocked Jesus. Now, why would anybody mock Jesus? They mocked him. They mimicked him. When he was hanging on a cross, he heard him haggling over his coat. Huh? Jesus suffered some wounds that went deeper than his skin. Huh? Now why did he have to suffer that? Because some of you have been haggling over coats and robes, haven't you? Huh? Hello. He heard some priests mocking. Priests? Mocking? Priests? These are supposed to be people of God. These are people that are supposed to lead us in the way of righteousness. And yet, my Bible says they persuaded the people to cry out, crucify him! Crucify him! They mocked too. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down now from the cross and we'll believe in him. They mocked him. They dared him. They challenged him. They did not believe him. Yeah, Jesus heard some things. He bore some burden. I want you to know he heard some women wailing and lamenting. And the one time that he did open his mouth, and he says, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. Hey, not only that, down at the very end, he's got two crooks on each side of him. You'd think that he'd get some sympathy from them, right? You'd think that they would understand, you know, jailhouse birds gang, they get together, you know, hey, you know, everybody's against us. Oh, but my Bible says even they railed upon him and cast it into his teeth. Hey, he be the Christ, save us and take us down off the cross. Oh, Jesus heard something. I'd like to tell you something else. Look in Matthew chapter 27. I'd like to say that not only did he hear some things, but he didn't hear something. There was something that he didn't hear that it cut deep, maybe perhaps deeper than all the other wounds that they laid out on him. He didn't hear the soothing voice of his father. That father, I don't know that I can explain this. I don't know that I should even try to explain, so I won't. Jesus somehow, throughout all eternity, known the fellowship and the love of the Father. No separation between Father and Son. And yet on that cross, when it's getting down to the end, he never heard the soothing voice of his Father. Surely he heard the fluttering of angels' wings coming to help him, but oh, no angels. Surely a trumpet would sound the last moment and say, listen, this is my beloved Son. Look what it says here. Matthew in chapter 27, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken? It's one thing for Judas to betray me. It's one thing for Peter to deny me. It's one for the world to cry, crucify me, crucify him. But, oh, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? The suffering. They railed upon him. They derided him. They blasphemed him. They mocked him. They cried out against him. They cursed him. They denied him. All those words, anything you can imagine, words that hurt you and cut you, Jesus suffered that day. They took his hands, put big old nails in his, right into his hand. Those hands that had healed. Now why did Jesus take that? Why did he allow him to put nails in his hands? I tell you why. Because your hands and my hands were quick to steal. Didn't take long about the time you could walk, your hands all of a sudden in the cookie jar, weren't they? Huh? Why were Jesus' hands scarred? Because your hands is stolen. I wrote some things down here. After you got out of the cookie jar quickly, you rose up and all of a sudden, I'll tell you why Jesus bled from the hands and they pierced his hands and pierced his feet. I'll tell you why. Because your hands scrawled obscenities on bathroom walls, didn't they? Huh? You taught your hands how to sin and writing obscenities on them. And it wasn't good enough just in the bathroom. You did it on the public places on the walls. You took spray paint out and sprayed obscenities, words that should not be seen or even mentioned or even spelled out. Your hands spelled them, so Jesus allowed them soldiers to come with some nails and put them in them holy hands. Can you hear it? Can you hear the hammer hitting down on that big old spike and going into his hand? Can you hear it? Can you see the nail piercing into his hand and the blood begin coming out? Now who are we talking about? We're talking about some criminal, some murderer, some guy that started an insurrection? What are we talking about here? We're talking about the Son of Man. We're talking about the man in whom there was no sin. He suffered because your hands were quick to into iniquity. For vile hands that had formed and violated things. For vile and despicable hands that have violated and pawed over the bodies of innocent women. Hello, do you hear me? Huh? When mama wasn't around and daddy wasn't around and you was alone in the backseat of the car, your hand went where someplace where they weren't supposed to be going. And so Jesus took and allowed those soldiers to put nails in his hand. For hands that were quick to shed blood, that handled knives and guns and baseball bats. Just on the radio today, heard 12 and 13-year-old children took a gun and shot their father's girlfriend, shot her dead. Just I heard the other day, they found a woman here in San Antonio, I think in a cemetery, they found her stabbed to death. That was done by hands, and Jesus suffered for those hands. Jesus suffered for the hands that took his neighbor by the neck and said, pay me what thou owest! Huh? Jesus suffered for the hands that reached out in a moment of anger and slapped the face of the wife and come. Jesus took the nail in his hand for the hands that reached out and scratched the face of a beloved husband. Hello. We're in America, aren't we? Don't tell me it doesn't happen. Some of you are guilty tonight, so Jesus had to take some nails. You say, why did my Savior suffer? He suffered for your sins and for my sins. I tell you, Jesus took it in the hands for wicked hands that fashion and graven and molten images that have been lifted up and spread forth unto false and strange gods. For hands that were struck together in unholy and unlawful agreements. For hands of foolish women that plucked down their homes instead of built them up. For hands of fools that which have refused to labor. For hands that should have been extended as helping hands, but were decked with gold and silver and precious stones and have become too heavy to reach out into help. Isn't that amazing? $1,000 on your ring, $1,000 ring on your finger, and you got no money to help somebody. Isn't that amazing? Huh? Hello. Those very hands that were so quick to clap for the gods of this world, whether it be on a basketball court, whether it be at a rock concert, whether it be at some other burlesque show, those hands are so quick to clap at those things, but so close, so slow to grasp a gospel tract or turn the page of the Holy Bible. The hands that reached out and grabbed a Playboy or a Hustler or something worse than that. Hands that typed on the keyboard to search out on the internet for the vulgarity that's out there. Hands that did that. Jesus' hands were nailed to the cross. For hands that have wreaked violence across this mighty land. For the very hands that took hold of the Son of Man. Yes, even for those hands. Even for those hands of Pilate as he tried to walk, stained the blood off of his hand. Some of you here tonight have tried just as Pilate. Oh, I think this is going to satisfy God. I'll wash my hands and declare myself innocent. Do you think by washing your hands you're innocent? Do you really think that by going down into some temple, whether it be Protestant or Catholic or Jewish synagogue or whatever, do you really think that by a little sprinkling of water is going to cleanse the sins that you've committed against an almighty God? Do you really think? Do you really think Pilate was innocent because he went over and washed his hands in a pool and declared, I'm clean of the blood of this man? Do you think that was sufficient? Do you think of that man that violated your daughter? And he goes down to the temple and says, look, I've been baptized. Is that sufficient? Tell me now. Is that sufficient enough for you? Are you satisfied that they washed their hands? Have they violated your daughter or your wife? Is that sufficient? Why do you think it's sufficient tonight for you to be baptized in the water? Maybe immersed, maybe sprinkled, maybe dampened, I don't know. But why do you think that's sufficient to cleanse your sin? No, it wasn't sufficient. So Jesus laid his hand out there and allowed that soldier to put his fight. He laid that hand out there. They didn't have to fight. They didn't have to fight. My Bible says that he laid his life down willingly. Why? Because of our unholy hand. God, one shall ask, what are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, those of which I was wounded in the house of my friend. Somebody sings a song around here. At least I think I remember. The only thing made by man will be the scar in my Savior. Isn't that a song we sing around here? For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. You see, they didn't just stop at his hands. They pierced his feet. Now, why did he do that? I'll tell you why. For those feet that in the beginning of life began to give notice to that mother that you was alive were so quick to stamp up and down and defiant to that very mother. Those feet which were so quick to shed blood and to run out and to stand there defiant to a beloved mother and beloved father. That's why Jesus allowed those soldiers to put spikes in us, because your feet were swift to sin. I wrote some things down here. Your feet were swift to shed blood, destruction and misery are in their ways. I tell you, Jesus suffered for the disease of Isaac's feet. You remember him, that king? He suffered for the feet that were swift to run the mischief, swift to run the evil, for feet that pondered the path of iniquity, for the stubborn feet of women who refused to abide in the house, for feet that hastened to sin, for feet that have been snared in sin, for feet driven by iniquity, for feet held strong by the stocks of wickedness. Can you hear the nails going in those feet? It's for this reason they did. For feet that have trodden the steps of depravity and find themselves stuck in the miry clay. For feet that have been tripped up in the snares of religion. For stumbling feet on the dark mountains. For the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched out necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go and making tingling with their feet. For feet that strode the streets of San Antonio to pry their wares. He died for those feet even. He died for those feet that refused to carry the gospel. He died for those feet. Hello, dear. And yet, all the suffering of Christ. And yet tonight, we're going to give him an invitation in just a few minutes. And yet I already know what might happen. I hope it doesn't. I pray to God it doesn't happen. Some feet tonight will try on the blood of Christ. I don't want Christ. I have my religion. My priest can forgive my sins. My religion can take away my sins. My religion is sufficient. I don't need Christ. Oh, I know you're not bold enough to say that. You're not honest enough. You're filled with God and deception. Your heart is deceived. You're not honest. You're alive. You're dying day. The death angel comes knocking at your door and says, time's up. But you'll try it over the blood of Christ. You see, my Bible says there in Isaiah that God himself was satisfied
And when Jesus sat on the cross, as he hung there, his last word, it is
Amen.
Oh, thank God. Hallelujah. It's over. He suffered. He bled. He took the beating. He took the spittle. He took the nail. He took it for your sin and for my sin.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
My friend, that's the gospel.
Amen.
Jesus suffered and died in your place.
Amen.
It is sufficient. All those sins and all the sins I failed to mention tonight, he suffered for you. And I would dare say tonight, and I say this with as much love and as charity that I can muster, and as God allows me to have tonight, I say to you sincerely, if you don't trust Christ and in him alone, then this verse is talking about you trotting out the blood of the Son of Man. Woe be to you if you do that.
I want to read one last verse, Hebrews in chapter 9. And verse 26, I'll read it, verse 25. Nor yet that he should offer himself often. Oh, thank God for that. As the high priest entereth in the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once. Did you hear me tonight? I said once in the end of the world had he appeared to put away the sin by the sacrifice of himself. And bless God tonight, that is sufficient. God in heaven is satisfied with the suffering of Christ. He died for your sins. He suffered for my sins and for your sins. And brethren and sisters tonight and friends and neighbors, I declare unto you the best I know how, that is sufficient.
Amen.
No religious sacrament is necessary. No long journeys and pilgrimages. Devotion to saints is necessary.
Money is not the price that God required. He was satisfied with the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That was sufficient. And I tell you tonight, I say again, woe be to you if you cannot be satisfied with that.
Jesus bled and died and suffered in your place.
He's already suffered for everything. Don't you understand? My sinner friend, he already died and suffered for you. And God said, it's sufficient.
For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit.
That precious blood that he spilled was God's blood. That's what it says in Acts in chapter 20 and verse 28. That blood that was spilled was the blood of the Lamb of God. And John the Baptist cried out in the very beginning of the ministry of Christ. He cried out, he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.
Amen.
Hello, did you hear me tonight? It's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world.
You go back now and read your Old Testament. And every time you see the priest cutting up a lamb in the Old Testament, who's talking about our Christ. And I pray to God that this somehow has touched your heart. And reached in and opened up your eyes that maybe have been blinded by religion or sin or the deception of this world or the flesh or whatever it is that impedes you. I pray to God that His Holy Spirit, wielding that sword of the Spirit, has cut into your heart and tearing away that uncircumcised flesh that you might believe now that Christ is your King.
My friend, I don't know that if you're saved or lost. Many people I see here, I know they're saved. I know they've been born again. They have an assurance. They've trusted this Christ that suffered. But maybe you haven't. We're going to give an invitation in just a few short seconds. And we're going to want you to come down here. If you have a burden in your heart and say, now I understand. Now my Christ has suffered for me. That's sufficient. God is satisfied. Now I'm satisfied. I want to be saved. I want to trust that Christ that died for me. If that's your prayer, we're going to want you to get out of your seat tonight and come down here and talk to some of these brothers. They're going to be willing to open up the Bible and tell you how you can call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and I will be saved. Father God, here many brothers and sisters, your saints of God. Some of you have fallen into sin. Some of you have confessed openly that you need a revival. Some of you have been ashamed of your Christian testimony. I want to comfort your hearts tonight and tell you once again that Christ suffered once, and that was sufficient. That was sufficient even for believers. You see, Christ not only died for the sins before we were saved, he died for the sins after we were saved. And that verse is still as true today as it was 2,000 years ago. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why? Because Christ has suffered for us. Let's everybody stand up. We're going to sing what number, brother? I don't even know. We're going to sing this hymn of invitation. And if God has touched your heart and you need to pray, you just come right down here. We got some places where you can just bow the knee and pray and call unto God. If you would like me to pray for you or some of these other brothers to pray for you, then just grab me by the hand and say, Brother Brent, I'm not saved. I'd like to be saved. Oh, I'd like to know this Savior that you talked about tonight. I'd be more than happy to tell you how you can be saved tonight. How you can call out in the name of the Lord and He'll save you. Or maybe some of these other brothers. Maybe you're a Christian. I said, oh, Brother Brent, God touched my heart tonight. I need a revival. I shame my Savior. Oh, but now I know that He suffered already for me, and that is sufficient. I don't have to suffer. He's already suffered for me. I need to pray. Would you pray with me? Please come as we sing this song. Just step out of your aisle. Don't wait. Don't tell me that God has not spoken tonight. I can't help but believe that God has touched some hearts. Christ suffering on the cross for your sin. Here are praying. As they pray, I want to ask how many here tonight can say honestly, Brother Brent, I know that Savior you talked about. That sure was a blessing to me, just to remind me that He suffered for me. How many here tonight can say, yes, I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm satisfied in Christ Jesus. He is my satisfaction. Would you raise your hand? How many can say, yes, I know I'm saved. Amen. Oh, what a blessing it is to see so many hands. Thank you. There's a lot of people here tonight. I couldn't see every hand. I would hate to think that somebody came all the way out here to Oak Knoll to hear the Word of God preached and to hear about the Savior suffering. I would hate to think that you'd walk out these doors unsaved, unsure of the love of Christ. See, my Bible says He wants to save you. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He promised in the book of John, if you'd come to Him, He'd not cast you out. He said, he that cometh unto me, I don't know why. That's not. If you'd come to Christ, He'd save you. Is there somebody here tonight, every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around? Is there somebody in the room tonight that said, Brother Brent, I'm not sure about this salvation. I'm not sure if I died tonight that I'd go to heaven. I'm just not sure. But I'd like to know. Would you just slip up your hand real quick? Somebody here tonight said, Brother Brent, I'm not saved. I've never been saved. I've never really trusted Christ. I'm not even sure what you're talking about. But I'd like to be saved. Is there somebody? Would you raise your hand? Just slip it up and put it right back down. Anybody? Father in heaven, we are so thankful that your Son died on the cross of Calvary for us. We're thankful that He bestowed His love and that He suffered and died in our place, the just for the unjust. Lord, I pray for these that are praying here. I pray that you would lift their burdens. I pray that you'd give them a peace that passeth all understanding. Lord, I pray that you'd comfort hearts. I pray for those that could not come for whatever reason, and Lord, that are burdened. Lord, I pray you'd lift their burdens. I pray you'd give them the victory over sin. Oh God, may we all find satisfaction in Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray you bless the rest of these revival meetings. I pray that you would fill me with your Spirit and I might preach your words and your words only. I pray that the saints of God be blessed and encouraged and revived and renewed. And Lord, I ask it now In Jesus' name, amen. I thank you very much for coming. Do come.